Okay, thank you, Aaron. Thank you for manning the Torah anytime. Thank you, everyone else, for being here, especially Mayor. See, Mayor, we waited for you. Okay, so you know the story that the person he tried to come into the nursing home, and they wouldn't let him in because they're not letting people into nursing home. And he told the guard, I say I'm coming in, and the guard said, you're not coming in. He said, I say I'm coming in, and the guard said, you're not coming in. And he said to the guard, you know who I am? You know who I am? And one of the patients came over and said, don't worry, none of us know who we are. Just come, you know, join, be with us. You know the classical story, the teacher, the professor says, okay, whoever doesn't hand in his test in the next 5 seconds, that's it. You're not going to get marked. And this kid comes up after 5 seconds and he sticks his paper into the pile. And the teacher says, you can't get away with that. He says, you know who I am? Do you know who I am? The teacher says, no, I have no idea who you are. He says, good. And he walks out. What are they going to do about it, right? Okay. So, but we really, one of the issues of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is really for us to figure out who we are. It's for us to figure out who we are. I've said the story that I was once wound up in Hebron. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into it now, but I was kind of arrested by the Palestinian police. It was not very reassuring. And remember the guy pointing a gun on my head. It's for real. And he said, who are you? I wanted to give him 2 pets. You don't know who I am? You never saw Torah any time of yours. But I remember it rang in my head a long time. Who are we? It's really what it's all about. Who are we? How do we determine who we are? There was already Torah any time. That's a good question. I guess it was the other things that were going on. Okay. Mayor doing my fact-checking over here. So today, Microsoft, if you understand, Microsoft lost its bid to buy TikTok. Mayor, are you upset about that? No?
No?
Did you say, oh no? No? It didn't bother you at all? Miles, did it bother you that Microsoft lost its...
Didn't even know.
Didn't even know about it.
So this is... Modern guys are the ones supposed to be giving it.
Right. So this is multi-trillion-dollar, you know, deal, whatever, and it doesn't bother me the least bit that Microsoft lost its bid to buy TikTok. Why not? Because what does it have to do with me, right? You know, it's not negating to me. I don't have an extra $50 million laying around. I wasn't trying to buy it. And if I do have an extra $50 million, I would have to save it for my SREC, whatever. I would use it for other things. But if you see a parking space in Borough Park, in Kew Garden Hill is also pretty tough parking, and you want to make a U-turn, and you're about to make the parking space, and all of a sudden, you're finally ready to make the U-turn, and somebody pulls in, you get very upset, right? Even though the guy did nothing wrong. So it's very interesting. The $50 million deal, I'm not upset about, but the parking space I'm upset about, what's the difference? And the answer is, because that I have no shaykhs to. This I have a shaykhs to. This is me. Okay, so which means that the more we believe in Hashgacha Pratis, that if something is not yours, you have no shaykhs to it, the less upset you are. And the less, it's easier said than done, but the more we believe in it, then the less upset we are, and the more a person incorporates Hashgacha into his life, the more Menuchas HaNefesh, the more Simchas HaChayim he has. To be dropped in a Shidduch process. It never feels good. You just tell my kids, L'maisa, it's not yours. It wasn't meant for you. How do you know? Because she said no. And she says no, that's a lot easier than when you say no. Because if you say no, even though it's also Hashgacha Pratis, but you need a little more Amunah in your Hashgacha Pratis. Somebody else says no. I said, no one has ever rejected. You're directed. That's how it is. We're not upset if it's not Negeya, if it's not anticipated, the Evan Ezra is Moshul, that no one is upset about not getting the Bas Melech. So I think also it's in terms of our own expectations. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to be perfect. So when we're not perfect, there's no reason not to get terribly upset, because Kadosh Baruch Hu never said we should be perfect. Perfection is beyond our realm anyway. You're not expected to be perfect. The world will never be perfect. There will never be a total security bubble. Even big bridges and skyscrapers are built to sway a little bit in the wind. The George Washington Bridge sways a little bit. I went with my old Astro, I couldn't really tell if it was my car or the bridge, but if it didn't sway, it would crack, it would fall. It has to give. We're not meant to be perfect. If we were perfect, we would self-destruct. We're not here. It is a perfect world. But the perfection is the imperfection. Our job is to try to do our best. And our job is not to change the world. And in most shalom bayis situations, the job is not to change the other person, not to change marriages. It's to make things work. So I have a friend, his name is Moshe Wilhelm, Lazan Gesundenstark. His father was a very big tzaddik, his name was Yossel Wilhelm, and his grandfather was the one who started Tarvei Das, the famous Binyamin Wilhelm, which I won't get into now. His father, Yossel, was an amazing person, but I knew personally. They're related to the Rebelskis, right. The Rebelskis is a nephew, I think his wife is a Wilhelm. Rebelski's wife was a Wilhelm. Anyway, so he told me they davened in a shul in Williamsburg. This is Maishi told me the story, so Maishi. And one day is a hot day, and this person walks in, you know, and he sits down, and somebody brings him a siddur and gives him Shalom Aleichem. And afterwards, he gets up, and someone says to him, where do you live? So he says, he lives in Betzdai. And you're walking from Betzdai into Williamsburg. Yeah, straight down Lee Avenue, which turns into a Nostrand. He said, how long is the walk? Yeah, 45 minutes. It wasn't the best of sections, even in those years. So Rabbi Yossel Wilhelm says, why don't you come to my house for Kiddush? Nah, I don't want to impose. Come for Kiddush. So he came for Kiddush. Why don't you stay for the Suda? No, I don't want to impose. So he stayed for the Suda. Then he said, why don't you lay down a little bit on the couch? He said, no, I don't want to impose. He laid down on the couch. And he didn't want to impose for the next 10 years, but he came for the next 10 years. Okay? Another story, someone knocks on the door and he says, yeah. He says, you know what story I'm going to say, right? He says, I'm staying by your neighbor across the street for Shabbos, but they're not home yet. Can I come in for a minute? Yeah, sure. A piece of kugel? Yeah, sure. A piece of fish? Yeah, yeah. A piece of meat? Yeah. You know, this guy's ranking it in. And finally, as he gets up to leave, he says, do me a favor. He says, yes. Next time, stay here and knock on the neighbor across the street and tell him you're waiting for me to come home, right? So, in all seriousness, Isaac would stay. He would lay down on the couch and he would sleep, and the kids would have, shh, Isaac is sleeping. Take it easy. And Isaac was sleeping. And then he would get up and he would go down to Mencha and Yishal Shul is a shul. And then he would come home. And they would say to him, how are you getting home? Well, you know, with the city bus, I'll drive you. And the Wilhelms would get into their station wagon and they would drive him home to Betzdai. And he said they did this for 10 years. They did it for 10 years, literally. He came, they drove, it was like, he says, when I grew up, I knew in your house, you make Havdalah, the Seder of Havdalah is what? Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, Yaknaz, the Seder and Havdalah in our house was, you know, Yayin, and Psamim, and Bari Mari Eish, Havdalah, and drive home Isaac. It was like, everyone does that, no? It's part of Yehadis. One day, Isaac told him, he's moving, he's not coming back. They couldn't believe it, he was there for 10 years. Nah. He didn't show up. Didn't show up, and he totally disappeared out of their lives. And it was very frustrating, because he was here 10 years, and suddenly he totally disappears out of their lives. Come on, you know, Vibis Digavain, where were you? So we've had that. We've had guests for years, and they're like, disappear. So I tell my kids, look, it was our job to be here, you know, to do what we had to do, and that's what the Baal Shem says, go on, move on. They never knew what happened to Isaac afterwards. They mamish never knew what happened to Isaac. Rabbi Yossel unfortunately had a stroke and he suffered terribly. He was an unbelievable person that worked on Simcha, on Simcha Sachayim, even under the most difficult of impossible situations. He was a prisoner in his own body. And remember when one of his, when his son-in-law lost a child, so they wheeled him in. It had been already 10 years that he couldn't, that he was paralyzed. And he said, remember, no questions. We don't ask questions, to Hashem, right? It's that for someone like that to say. And when the doctor told him whatever the situation was, that they were very honest with him, they didn't know if he would make it for the next couple of weeks, his response was, bring me a chumash. Was he going to point out a pasuk and leave them with the last will? He said, no, he started being Marva Seder. He said, let me do then the next couple of sedras. Let me try to finish off till Dvarim. You know. Right? You're talking about a different way of thinking, different way of life. Anyway, so Rabbi Yossel passes away. And they go, and he's buried in the Wellwood Cemetery, which is in Long Island. And somebody gives a shriek right behind him. Mamish right behind him. I've seen pictures. I wanted to bring them in. Next time, if you remind me, forgot to bring them. Maybe a foot away. No social distancing. Over there, you don't need social distancing. There's no pi'alacha, how much you have to have between them. Is Isaac Labat. Isaac Labatkin. They saw them at Saiba. He was buried right next to him. For whatever reason, these, you know, in Shemayim, they knew why they had to be together. There's a cheshbon. You don't just meet people down here in this world. So we had a guest for many, many years, not using real names, of course, Shmuel. Shmuel was an interesting guy. They threw him out of shul a couple of times because he would scream, Amen Yehesh Merabah. They don't throw people out of my shul for screaming, Amen Yehesh Merabah. It's just that he was a little eccentric. He would scream, Amen Yehesh Merabah, when everyone else was not saying, Amen Yehesh Merabah, and he would bang on the walls, and he would scream and yell, and he would say he's only doing it to blend in. That's what he said. He blended in, all right. So I brought him home one sukkah. My wife thought I was crazy. And he stood there and all the kids came to see. And he wound up being our guest for a good four or five years. Very, very interesting. And then he would disappear and he would show up and disappear and show up. And it was like, you know, we always had a place for Shmuel. And it was a lot of fun. We kind of enjoyed him. And then Vahiyah Yaim, I'm marrying off my first son. Okay? Marrying off my first son. There's a lot of pressure. The first Friday, it's our first wedding. And I had like eight girls at home, all unmarried. Now, Baruch Hashem, they're almost all of them are married. But then there were a bunch of little girls. And you know what it's like finding gowns for girls for weddings? Okay, listen, if it's Bashayat Tsaris, you should have to go through this. I bet yourself with your kids. You know what I mean? Nothing worse. But let me tell you something. It's like, you know, you have no idea what goes on until they figure out on a theme and on a color scheme and on a this and on a that. And then in a tragedy, it's the same dress as the other side is wearing. And I told them, Shdramul Bekesh is the same as the other guy. What's the problem? You know what I mean? They're both wearing black. You know? We don't have a problem. They don't have a problem with it. Like, what's your problem? So finally, for the Shabbos Ofruf, you know, all the little dresses and the little pom-poms and the little petticoats and everything is all done and it's sent to the cleaners. And Friday morning, it's like, you know, Chaim got her to cleaners, Rifki got her to cleaners, Bela got her to cleaners, I'm going. And finally, somebody says, did anyone got her to cleaners? Goldie, run to the cleaners. And she comes back and says, they're closed. Of course, we go running back and sure enough, the gates are down. And everything is there for the Shabbos Ofruf or Shabbos Sheva Brachos, whatever it was. All the dresses, all the years, and all the tantas and the babas and the Congress and the Senate and the Supreme Court and everyone that had to, because it's not Pasha until you decide which dress to wear. It has to be signed and it has to be passed by committee. And it was all of a sudden, you know. And we tried to get hold of the owner of the cleaners and he said he's on his way to Muncie and he's not coming back to Bar Park. His man was at 4 o'clock and that's it. And there was I felt that you could cut the ear with a butter knife. There was going to be an explosion in this house. Like, whose fault is it? And we were going to, like, it was going to explode. And I said, Rabbi Shalom, I'm sitting on a nuclear bomb, on a hydrogen bomb, a plutonium bomb. I don't know, Hiroshima, here it comes. This is it. It was your fault, I told you. And all of a sudden, like, Shmuel walks in at all times. Occasionally, he would walk in during the week. And basically, he would get right to the point. I'm hungry. And he always wanted a tuna fish sandwich. Not that he needed a tuna fish sandwich. A certain amount of mayonnaise, a certain amount of scallion, a certain amount had to be cut in a certain way. He had his whole list how he wanted it. And in the middle of this explosion, Shmuel comes in. Hello, I'm hungry. And I wanted to say, Shmuel, get out, not now. Get out. And my wife, she has Bina Yisera. And she just says, okay, stop. Shmuel's here. I told you to go to the cleaner. Shmuel's here. We don't scream in front of Shmuel. That was the rule. We don't scream in front of Shmuel. Which was very convenient. They never understood why. Why the heck didn't we scream in front of Shmuel? I don't know. But just like we were told you don't scream in front of Shmuel. And the wife said, okay, get the tuna, get the mayonnaise, get the scallions, get the this, get the that. He had a special seat that he liked. He wanted to sit next to the air conditioner on the 43 degree angle from it. Everything him, drink. And afterwards, he always wanted to lay down on the couch. Because he got very tired after his tuna fish sandwich. I'm not sure what the reaction was, what the chemical reaction was. And he lay down on the couch. We started, I told you to go to the cleaner. Shmuel sleeping. We tiptoed around. Shmuel was sleeping. And I just remember, I don't remember what happened. Just everybody, Baruch Hashem, went to shul for the Sheva Brachos. Nobody went in their pajamas. Somehow we managed. And I just say, you know, Shmuel is from a different world. But I said, he saved an explosion. Every once in a while, the Rebbeinu Shem shows us, just transfer yourself to a different world. You could do it. We can like transfer ourselves to a different world. So we take a look at this Fasemes, who says like this, Amru Chazal, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Amr Lufan of Malchiyos, say Malchiyos in front of me, Shetam Lichuni Alecha, make me king. Zechroinos, Sheyala Zechroinim Lufan L'Tayvash, remember you for good, Kaidei Kabbalas, Malchusa Yisbarach Shemai, Nivdin B'nai Yisrael, we are redeemed, Mashakasav Paida Hashem Nefesh Avadav, Elu B'nai Yisrael, Shemekabal Malchusa B'Rotzen. There's a lot in this Vasemis, and let me try to, in Yiddish there's an expression, let me just it's the Bereklin of Kleingeld. Let's break it up into small change. How many times have you heard yourself saying, I am in the worst place in the world? What I did to myself, I'm doomed! And
that. It's my fault.
Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Yindadichacha b'ktzei Hashemayim, Misham yikabetzcha." You know what Misham means? Everything okay, Meir? Baruch Hashem. You know what Misham means? Misham means even if you're on the lowest place in the world. Misham means that you could have not made a bigger mistake in your relationships. You could have not made a bigger mistake in your life. Misham yikabetzcha. I'm there. So there's a famous mashal, or it was a story that the soldiers were waiting for the Tsar to come, and the Tsar was taking his time to come, and suddenly the Tsar showed up, and the soldiers in the chap, what happened? They were playing in the mud, and all of a sudden, he's here! So a lot of the soldiers dove into the mud, because if the Tsar sees them like this, half the shell, they're shot on the spot. They were like, better die, you know, under the mud, or find some air pocket, but and one soldier stood up in the mud with his hand dripping in the mud, blup, 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 salutes the Tsar. So the Tsar says to him, what's with you? He goes, I know I'm in the mud. I know I shouldn't have been there. We should have been standing there. But I'm not hiding. This is who I am. You're here. I stand at attention. So the Tsar, of course, gave him the big promotion. When we say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in the mud. This is who I am. That's also what Hashem wants to hear. Just position yourself. You are my king, and this is who I am. Help me. So we say, Anil Ladoidi Vidoidi Li is El. I'm sure you've heard that once or twice, right? So Rav Moshe says, what does it mean? What does Li mean? What's Li? Right. Know the story of the Chassid of Williamsburg? The big Amoris? Right, you know this. You know my jokes. What's going to be here? Okay, so Meir, you know this one, right? So he's underneath the chuppah, and the Sadeh Galician says, Nu, he goes, Haray. He doesn't know what to say. Haray at Nekudashes. Now here the Masada Kedushin does not want to say the word Li, because that would create a problem. You understand? The last thing he wants to do is have to give a get to the Kallah, you know, right? So, he, Riyat Mekadeshes, everyone's like, hey, nobody say Li, because then you're going to run into, you know, and the guy goes, Riyat Mekadeshes, Riyat Mekadeshes. Finally, someone gets up there and says, between Bedford and Division, Li, Mazel Tov. Okay, Lee Avenue, right? That's where it is. He got it.
That's the new one.
If that actually happened, I don't know.
That's a new one.
That's a new one? No. We've said it. Mary, you must have been out then. You must have walked out then for a minute. Okay. So I very rarely have new ones. I mean, we embellish other ones. So Ramesha says, what's Anila Daidi Vidaidi Li? He says, Hashem is to me for who I am. Whoever I am, an El, that's who Hashem is. So Rav Moshe says a more difficult thing. You say the Yiratzin before you put on tefillin. So what do we say? We say Yiratzin, right? V'yanecheni laved es Hashem. Please allow me to serve Hashem. Ka'asher im levaveinu. Like we are in our heart. What do you mean like we are in our heart? What if my heart is full of disgusting things? In fact, Rav Moshe, we should say V'yanecheni laved es Hashem. What do you mean ka'asher im levaveinu? We ask you, Hashem, please let me serve you. Ka'asher im levaveinu, as is in my heart. Can anyone perhaps want to suggest what that means? Ka'asher im levaveinu. Yes, Mayor.
Well, we can't give a get back kofa, but we could be kofa.
Because deep in our heart, we want to serve Hashem. Right, the Rambam says, right. For someone to give a get, because kofa nice Hashem writes in because it's pnimi is okay. Very good, Mayor. Anyone else? What do we mean, ka'ashem levavein? We want to put on film, help us serve you as is in our heart. Who says that what's in our heart is good? Anybody? Yaakov. Sorry, what's your first name? Sorry, I keep forgetting.
Yair?
Yair, go ahead. Any thoughts? So Rav Moshe says, guess what? Hashem doesn't want you to serve him with the heart of... Somebody once said, somebody came to Rabbi Saul Salanter, and who was it? I forgot what. He said, if I had the heart of the Yisad V'Shar Yishu Avayda, the head of the Shagas Arya, and I had the Koichais of David HaMelech, he says, yeah, but Hashem wants your heart and your head. Hashem wants us to be who we are. He doesn't want us to be who we're not. He says, this is my Yetzirah. I have a disgusting Yetzirah, an aggressive Yetzirah, who hands me around his little finger. Hashem, I'm trying. Hashem says, yeah, I want you to come to terms with me. This is Ka'asher Im Levaveinu. Not more, not less. And our heart is constantly being challenged. And the world is changing. No two hearts are the same. So, how many psychology majors do we have over here? I don't know why, but that's a bunch of people who told me once that they're going for CPA and therefore they're taking psychology courses. Ever heard that? Then I said it once to an accountant. He said, if you would know what people react like when you give them their tax return, you have to take psychology courses. Okay. So as you know, The front part of the brain is called the, probably not pronouncing it right, the prefrontal cortex, right? Prefrontal cortex, that's the front part of the brain. And that's the brain that you think, right? The part that you think is with the prefrontal cortex. Yes, Mayor? Looks like your prefrontal cortex is stumped, yes. Only psychology course, okay. Only took one. Okay, then there's the part of the brain that does memories, and that's called the hippocampus?
Hippocampus?
Hippocampus. Okay. Mine's is a hippocampus. That's why my memory's a little bit different. Okay. Who came up with the name hippocampus? Someone that used his prefrontal cortex in a strange way, but Al-Capone. So the part that you think is called the prefrontal cortex, right? And the memory part is the hippocampus in the back of the brain?
Somewhere.
And this is in the front of the brain. So I once, there's the member from the Rashab, he says from the Zohar, that when a person thinks, when you're trying to remember something, you generally pick your head up, like, what was the guy's name again? We're trying to figure something out, and goes, what's out here? Like you bend forward. So the blood rushes to that part of the brain. When somebody told him about that in science, Hashem said that he doesn't know it from science. He knows it from the totally different makar. Okay? And then there's the part of the brain called the, now I'm sure not going to pronounce this right, amygdala, A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A.
And that's
amygdala. Shkayach. Where'd that come from? Okay, so amygdala. You're taking the CPA course, you know. Okay, Shine. Should have known. So, the amygdala that's the flight or fright, right? That's the emotion? That's the emotions in the person.
Think so.
Okay, so a person only has one heart. How come you don't have about three different hearts? And the answer is that your heart is to constantly readjust to whatever part of the brain is now doing, whether you're thinking, whether you're memorizing, or whether you're running away from something, or you're called to challenge something. And when we say, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, accept our malchus, so what we're saying is, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, ka'ashim levadeinu, where is our heart? Our heart has to follow our situations in life. And the situations in life are constantly changing. And even our brain is constantly changing, depending on what we're facing. And there's a mix of these different parts of the brain, depending on the emotions that we're doing. And every time we say, the B'chaim B'lazner says, every time we say, we're never the same person. No two shmonesres in the course of your life are the same, because there's different parts of your brain and the heart are intermingling in a certain way, depending on what you're experiencing, what your fear is at that given moment. And the reset is on Shavuos. On Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a total reset. And what we're saying is, look, I am who I am. I am my fears, my past experiences are going to be part of my thought process. It's just the way it is, what I'm scared of. I can only think the way I can think. I am who I am. And this is how I want to serve you. And as you get older, it begins to change. And it adapts to different nisyanos. And every Rosh Hashanah, we're saying, look, Hashem, this is who I am now. I want to accept your emunah in terms of my life, of who I am. And then it goes to the next step, which is Zichroinus. Zichroinus is based on our Hegeshim and our past experiences. So I've often said the story. When I was in a bungalow colony in Monroe, and they weren't very happy that the Jews were coming in, that was before Kiryas Yoel and Satma, they didn't even know what was coming. And there was a flatbed truck, and there were a bunch of people dressed like Nazis. And they were throwing rocks, and we were smart. We threw back a Sroigim that we saved from the last Sukkot, you know. We thought it was a big joke. Now, I remember the sheer terror in my mother's eyes as she grabbed me and pulled me into the thing, and I wanted to be there to see the action. So there's Malchi Isaac. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, you may be in a rut, you may be worried. A lot of people, right, are in a totally different situation this year than they were last year. And no one really knows what's coming. No one knows what's going to be with this country, no one knows what's going to be with this city, no one knows where we're headed, except Rabbi Shlomo. So, okay, Hashem, whoever I am, wherever I wind up, I'm mamluch you on me. So I was thinking that the malchios is on our thought process. The zechroinos part, that's on our memory process. Because as much as we have the past fears, and we're so scared, because we say, oh no, who knows what's going to happen again, relax, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, because my memory goes before yours, goes all the way back. And the third part is the shayfreis, and the shayfreis is the amag, what's it called again? Shalom?
Amygdala.
Amygdala, right? That's the fear. That's our emotion. And that's what the Sfasemis is really saying. There's a fellow who owns a grocery store in my corner, and he's one of the longest time Hatzalah people. He's like really serious in Abish. And there was one incident once, I remember many, many years ago, the Abish is a lot of people, and I'm walking down the corner, and a car hit a girl and she went flying into the air and landed on the floor. And I remember him flying out of the grocery with his bag, with his Asala bag, even before she hit the ground. And he was on it, and Baruch Hashem, she's okay. And I once said to him, "You have Ruach HaKadosh? Like you have a sixth sense?" So he said, "When I hear a long horn, beep," and it's one of two things. Either there's a guy that's angry, very angry that someone's slowing him, or it's a guy that's desperate to get someone out of the way. I don't take any chances. I start running. He said, "I heard the long horn, and I heard the screech." I said, "Something's happened." I was running before the accident took place. So I was thinking about what he said. He's right. When you're driving, for those of you that live in Baltimore, maybe you don't understand this, but in New York, you get into the car, and even before you turn on the engine, you honk. That's how it is. The only eights is going to be, it should be as loud in the car as it is outside of the car. That's when people are going to start. Okay, so a lot of times you're driving, and you're not driving fast enough for the person behind you. He's... You finally pull over to the side, and he doesn't stop. Even as he passes, he gives you one more, he gives like a brocha chreina, you know what I mean? He gives you another long honk. Because he has, obviously, right, big kia gedol, he has an anger management issue. And sometimes someone is saying, look out, there's a kid in front of me, right? So how do you know what the long horn is? You want to look around. How do you know what the long horn is? Someone said to me, I can't drive, my wife sits next to me, she says, look out, I can't drive next to her. I said, you know, I have the same issue. Don't tell anyone, okay? But there was once, she said, look out, and there was a kid who ran in front, right in front of the car. So I said, it was worth 1,000 times for telling me to look out, right? If I saved that one time that I didn't hit that kid. So, we all yell. There's going to be a yell. But what is the yell? So the shofar is broken down into two. There's the tkiah, right? There's the long tkiah. Then there's the shvarim trua, and then the tkiah again. So I once heard a pshat like this. The tkiah is our initial cry. You see something, you go, oh no! Right? That's a cry. It's a cry. And then when you begin to assess a tragedy or a trauma, there's a shvarim. It begins to break down. Well, what am I going to do? You have 1,000 questions. How am I going to survive this? How am I going to tell people what happened? What's going to be? That's the shvarim. All of a sudden you have 1,000 questions. And it's the tkiah afterwards where it counts. There's going to be a tkiah afterwards. Either that tkiah is, okay Hashem, this is what happened, this is the matzif, please, I'm in your hands, help. Or, I can't believe this happened, I'll kill that person, right? The first tkiah is not in our control. It's our reaction to what's happening. The shvarim is our mind processing what happened. Then comes the tkiah afterwards. It's the tkiah afterwards that we can control. And we can turn it from anger to tefillah. It says that Esav shed 3 tears. Esav almost shed through. One tear came out of Esav's eyes because of that. When he lost the brachas, we lost the first base in Mikdash. Another tear came out of Esav's eyes. We lost the second base in Mikdash. Almost a third tear almost came out, but it stayed in his eye. That's what the Medrash says. So I once saw, I forgot where, but someone explains it that Esav was in genuine pain. He lost the brachas, and Esav knew more than we knew what Yitzchak's bracha is. Yaakov got the bracha of Yitain v'yachse v'yitain that Hashem is constantly nourishing us. That there's no given from one day to the next. There are no chazakas. You know what I mean? There's chazakas in the shul. You get automatically get the table you got last year. No, that's it. Right? Every year it's a new story. You get automatically get the dorm room you got last year. No. New Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says, there's no guarantee on life. There's no guarantee on money. It's brand new. It's brand new. It's all new. Hashem is constantly giving it to us. The Esav was shocked. It lost Yitzchak's bracha. He knew what that meant. His first 2 tears were genuine cries of pain. We lost the first 2 Batei Mikdashes. By the time he got to his 3rd tear, he said, I'm going to kill that Yaakov. And here's where Esav went wrong. If by his 3rd tear he would have said, okay Hashem, I blew it, help me, we would have been doomed. But instead it got converted to anger. And therefore, it never came out of his eye, and therefore, we don't lose the third base of Mikdash. So the way we build the base of Mikdash is the other way, is to take the tear of anger and convert it to tefillah. And that's really what it's all about. That's really what the bracha of Kiyas Shofar is all about. I heard from my Mashgiach, the Rav of my shul, an amazing vart. The Medrash says that when Hashem created Adam Rishon, Medrash, whatever this means, of course, it doesn't mean in the physical sense, but this is what Hashem did. This was the schedule, morning, Friday morning. The first hour, was Ola B'machshava to create a human being, whatever that means. The second hour, Hashem made a committee of Malachim and said, should we do it? And the Malachim said, no, and Hashem said, I'm doing it anyway. Okay? As the Kodesh Baruch Hu creates how the world works. In the third hour, the Medrash says, the Eibishter gathered the dust together. In the fourth hour, the Eibishter began to knead it, like you would knead a dough. In the fifth hour, the Eibishter began to form veins and you know, arteries. In the sixth hour, Hashem formed the shape of the human being. Different shitas exactly in what order. And in the seventh hour, Hashem blew in his neshama, and poof, Adam Rishon is alive. Most of the time, when do we blow shofar, right? We used to blow shofar in the morning. The Romans came along and said, no shofar. Okay, we're not blowing shofar. As soon as they walked out, we take out the shofar. That's how we blow shofar by musaf. In most shuls, at least in Borough Park, it comes at around 1 o'clock. So you see the Hashgacha Pratis, that there the Romans tried to take away the shofar. But what happens? When do we blow shofar? At the exact moment that the Eibishter blew life into us. Because that's what the shofar is. The shofar is Vayipach Di'apav Nishmas Chayim. It is that particular bracha of life. So I saw there was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, the Kretchnefer Rebbe. There's a few of them. He was in Kiryat Gat. In Tavshin Ayin Ches, he said this Torah, and it's printed in a sefer. And someone showed me that it's called the Noyam Eliezer. This sefer was printed in Tavshin Ayin Ches. But I'm going to quote you what he says. People were very scared then. It was Tavshin Ayin Zayin because there were missiles flying in from Gaza. And people are saying it's the Mulchem, it's Gog Magog, the war in Iran and Syria. So he says, like, I'm quoting. This is what he writes. He was a big Makobel, this person. What are you thinking? Kodesh Baruch Hu writes a larich Mulchem, if Hashem wants to make a war. Ain loy tzayrich, he doesn't need loy b'metusim, he doesn't need planes, loy b'tilim, he doesn't need missiles, loy al yidei hu Iranim, he doesn't need the Iranians, loy al yidei echerim, or anyone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yavei davar la'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring something to the world, shuken cholom, like a dream, she'ein bo memashas, you can't even see it, it's microscopic, ve'ein royim, I say. L'mashal, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachol la'hoirid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring down virus cotton, a small virus, u'l'hafitzai b'chol la'olam, and in a second, it's over the entire world. And Yahapach v'yishabesh as kol ha'olam. Everybody will be totally disoriented and mixed up. Misoifa olam v'atsoifa. In one shot on the entire world. Av kol ha'technologia, all the technology, v'yameinu, v'chol umas ha'olam yu v'pchinas ha'yinu k'cholmim. It's not going to help them. They're going to be totally stumped. That's what he says. And he says, Zeh kara ba'achres ha'yamim. Loi b'mulchama, loi b'kayach, loi b'moyach, loi... Loy al yidei Horanim, loy al yidei Hasurim, not through the Syrians. Rahu levada ilacham es mochem es goy gemogog. Sheker es sus la seshua of Rav Chayli loy amalis. He tells him, so what do you worry about? You know what to worry about? You don't even know what to worry about. Do we know where we're headed? Just do, be who you are. Be who you are and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu run the world. So there's a beautiful vard, and I'll close with this, in the Sefer Aruch Lener, the Minchas Sanah. So this year, Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, right? First day, Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos. So we don't blow Shofar because it's Shabbos. Famous vard from the Kedushas Levi. Oh, so Hashem cannot write death, because he's not allowed to write on Shabbos. But he can write life, because it's Bekuach Nefesh. So what does that mean? If the first day Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't have to tshuva. Let's try to understand what the Kedushas Levi means. Says the Aruch Lener, historically, both Bati Mikdashes were destroyed in the year that the first day of Shoshana fell on Shabbos. Uh-oh. But he also says that Eibishter was Meichel Bechet HaEgel and built the Mishkan on the year that Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. It makes a cheshmer. So it seems that when the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, things can go either way. So he says a fascinating mashal. He says, suppose you have someone that's a minister that's supposed to show up to the king. And normally he comes with his lawyers and he comes with his marching bands and the proper setting for his majesty the king. And one day he can't come. For whatever reason, he's stuck. And he says, what's the king going to do to me? And his wife says, I'll go. Or he tells his wife, you go. And one wife walks in and the king looks at her and she says, my husband can't come. Please don't be upset with him. And the king looks at this woman. He goes, why do you have two black eyes? Oh, I fell. Why is your nose bleeding? Oh, it was nothing. We had a little disagreement. And why do you look so sad? Why do you look so beaten? Why are you dressed in rags? No, my husband can't come. Your husband's going to come. And we'll see what I do to him. The king is infuriated. Another woman walks in. There's a smile on her face from ear to ear. And she looks so radiant and happy. She goes, "Your Majesty, my husband, I'm going to spend some time with him. He can't come now." And he says, "It's okay. Tell your husband he's in good shape." Shabbos is Shabbos Kala Malkasa. We can't blow shofar. We send Shabbos instead. So Hashem looks to see, how's the wife doing? How's Shabbos doing? So if we can come into Shabbos and say, as difficult as it is, it's the first Shabbos of the year, it's Rosh Hashanah, everyone has their nesiyonos, everyone has their challenges. Hashem, try to do my best. I'll try to do my best, and you try to be happy. And the happy wife comes up. Hashem says, there's no shofar, but don't worry about it. But if the Shabbos comes up beaten, and she comes up really like you're disoriented, and you can tell what's going on in the house, that's not good for us. It's really not. So in conclusion, the Berdichevah said there's a terrible gzeirah, He's looking for some rachmim, he has to find rachmim, and he starts wandering around, and he sees a light coming out of a house. And he walks into that house, because he sees this light coming out of the house, and there's a woman there crying, and she's holding a lock of hair. And he says to her, "Biti, my daughter, what's the matter?" And he says, "Oh no, the Rebbe goes and sees all the sinners, and now you came to my house just to do it. Don't worry about the sinning. Tell me your story." She says, "My father died. I was the oldest in the family. I was left alone. My father had a kretschma, he had a tavern. And I knew other people were trying to take advantage of the fact that my father died, and they were trying to outbid him for the tavern. And I ran to the pirates, to the landowner, and I had long, blonde, curly hair. And he looked at me and he said something very not nice. He started making advances toward me. I turned around and I started to run for my life. And he said, "Wait." He said, just do me a favor. Let me touch your hair. Let me caress your hair. That's all. And I promise you, you can have the tavern for free for the next 3 years." And I was like a shock. I didn't know what hit me. And he picked up my hair and he just felt it for a while. And I just ran off. And I ran home and I said, I can't believe what just happened. And I began to cry. And I said, "Hashem, you have to be merchmi. I'm a yisoyim. I didn't know what was going on. I never dealt with apartments before." And I quickly went and I cut off my hair. I just cut it all off. And afterwards, I ran away, because people told me to run away, because you never know what the pirates is up to. And I got married, and I had a good marriage, and my husband died. And I'm sure it's because of my sins. And she bursts into tears. And the Kedushas lady says, "It's not because of your sins. I promise you. I promise you, Hashem knows exactly where your heart is. Hashem knows exactly the situation you were in. Do you have any of the hair left?" She picked up the lock of hair. And the Kedushas lady said, "Give me the lock of hair." And he came into the base of Medrash. And he said, "Hashem, I know exactly the taina that the Mekatrigim have. I know what the prosecuting angels have. I know the kitrug against Klal Yisrael. But take every single Aveira and Klal Yisrael that there is on the other side of the scale, and put this lock of hair on the other side. And I am telling you that the lock of hair is going to weigh it down. You're going to see." You know, you think about this, Rabbi Say. You're here, Baruch Hashem. If we're here and we're Shem Yitzhar Mitzvahs and you're in this wonderful Moisid and you're in a Makam Torah like this, it's not by chance. There's the lack of here from your mother, from your grandmother, from your great-grandmother, that we're alive in that Zchus. And our job is to pick up the ball and continue to roll with it. Good Kibben Shiar. See you next time.